chapter 4. I'll begin with verse 7 and read through verse 12. Paul says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." And therefore he says, "When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you as your children, as your people. And we acknowledge very clearly, Father, that it's not because of our own works, our own goodness, our own efforts, our own religious activities. We come before you as children because of your grace bestowed upon us in the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man, who came to this earth, who died for us, who was raised from the dead, and who now sits at your right hand, interceding for us, and coming again, according to your plan and purpose, to rule and reign upon this earth. Thank you for Jesus. Father, we come to you in his name. What a blessed name. And Father, we have before us today your word. Your word. You speak to us today through it. May our ears be open. May our eyes be upon you. May our hearts be receptive as your Spirit works in our hearts this day. And Father, we would look with great anticipation to knowing you better and to understanding your plan, catching a glimpse of your glory from your word today. Help us focus our attention upon you. Open our eyes that we might see wonderful and amazing truth that's set before us today from your word. We give you glory and honor and praise. Look forward to what you will do in our lives. We thank you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Have you ever wondered how a church is really supposed to work? I mean, how is it that God could take 150 people, people who were different, people with different personalities, people with different backgrounds, people with different lives, and bring them together so that His purpose can be accomplished, so that His purpose can be carried out? Have you ever stopped and thought about it? Has it ever run through your mind how God could do such a thing? How He could take so many different people, bring them together, and accomplish His will and accomplish His purpose? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, we have what could be called the blueprint or the formula of God's plan for the church. We see in this passage how the church is to function, how the church is to work. There are three concepts that we have shared with you in the last few weeks, three concepts that stand out very clearly in these 16 verses. We could call these the functional characteristics of the body of Christ. And so what are they? Well, there is unity. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. There is diversity. Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 12. And there is maturity. Ephesians 4, verses 13 to 16. Unity, diversity, maturity. We've spent a couple weeks looking at that first concept, the concept of unity, and we found out in verses 1 through 6 the basis of body unity, the unity in the church. It's based on who we are. We're in Christ. It's based on how we act. Things like humility and forbearance, long-suffering. It's based on what we believe. Paul actually gives seven foundational truths that form the basis of unity, doctrinal unity in a church. And so we've looked at unity. The church should function in unity. Today I'd like to look at the second characteristic of the body of Christ, the church, and that characteristic is diversity. Because within the local church, there is unity, but there's also diversity. And this diversity is centered around the subject of spiritual gifts. When you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, this passage divides easily into three parts. We have the giving of the gifts, verse 7. We have the giver of the gifts, verses 8 through 10. And we have the gifts that are given, verses 11 and 12. The local church is to practice unity. But in this unity, there is great diversity. Let's begin this morning and let's look at the giving of gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, we see this second distinguishing characteristic of the body of Christ. There is unity, but there is also diversity. Look at verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Now this phrase that he uses, he says, "each one of us," indicates a difference, a distinctiveness, a diversity within the body of Christ. You see, he moves from talking about this unity until now he turns our attention to the differences, the diversity that takes place within a local church. The body of Christ is marked by variations, variety, differences. Paul says there is diversity within the church. So I want you to think about this diversity within the church, but don't think about it along the lines that we normally do. Don't think about diversity like Jew or Gentile, or male or female, or rich or poor, or big or small, or city or country, or American or African or Chinese or Korean. Don't think about that diversity in that way. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing now to believers, he made it very clear to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3 that there is a oneness in Christ Jesus. But this is a diversity. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, this is a diversity that's found in function. Jesus Christ has given to His church spiritual gifts. Paul talks about gifts here. Spiritual gifts. Now he doesn't refer to spiritual gifts, that term in this passage. He does that in other places in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, he goes into much great detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But here, I want you to notice that he links God's grace to Christ's gifts. So it's through the unmerited favor of God that we receive and we manifest these gifts or these spiritual gifts. Now, by looking carefully at this passage and also by looking at some other statements from the New Testament, then we this morning can answer some important questions about the diversity of the body of Christ through spiritual gifts. And so I just want to ask some questions and answer some questions through the Word of God this morning about these spiritual gifts. The first question is this, and it's a simple question. It's where we should start. Well, what are these gifts? What's Paul talking about? He says in verse 7, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Let me give you a definition of spiritual gifts. I think it's very simple. Spiritual gifts are God-given abilities given to believers to edify the church and bring glory to God. The key in that definition is this: they are God-given abilities. I'll even add to that, even as we talk about it more, they are supernatural abilities. Supernatural abilities that God gives to believers to edify the church and to bring glory to God. So folks, these are not natural abilities. These are not natural talents, though those things can be used for the glory of God, and those things can be used to build up and to edify the church. We're talking about something that's supernatural here. So we're not talking about playing the piano or singing or drawing or whatever it may be. But these are spiritual gifts. These are special supernatural abilities that are characteristic of Jesus Christ, and the way that Jesus functioned and the way that Jesus labored and the way that Jesus worked upon this earth. And they're given to each one of us that we might share them with others in the body of Christ. And it's through these God-given abilities that we function as Jesus Christ did. Now look carefully at this verse, because there are several truths about these gifts that Paul clearly reveals in this very short statement. For example, who has these gifts? Who has them? Paul says here, look at verse 7, he says, "But to each one of us grace was given." You know what that means? That means that every believer has a spiritual gift. At least one spiritual gift, perhaps more than one, but every believer has at least one spiritual gift. I'm going to reference several verses, several passages of Scripture. We'll go to them in a few minutes, but just listen carefully. You can even jot down the reference. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Apostle Paul, talking about the gifts, says that each one has a measure of faith. Each one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he says, and again he's talking about the gifts, and he says, "is given to each one for the profit of all." In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Apostle Peter says, "as each one has received a gift." Brothers and sisters, do you know what that means? That means that all of us are gifted. There is no one here today who's not trusted Jesus Christ. Let me say it another way. Everyone here today who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ, who is connected with God through faith in Jesus, every person here today has a supernatural gift, a supernatural ability, something that is characteristic of Jesus Christ to be used within the body of Christ. I love God's timing, because Pastor Jake stands up and he's talking about the international giveaway. And Brother Eric stands up and he's talking about truth trackers. And I'm just back there thinking, God, this is how the body functions. These are opportunities. You will use your gifted people in this body, in these ministries. You will give opportunities for these gifts that you have given to be exercised and used within this body, not only for the benefit of the body, but for the benefit of others. And we will see that, and we will experience it. We have this summer. And not only in summer, but folks, in everything that we do within this local church, there's this opportunity that God gives to use these gifts that He's given. We've all been gifted. That means that we can't step back and we can't say, well, I'm not useful in the body. Or I have no gift. Or I am of no benefit to this church, because to each one of us, Paul says grace has been given. And when I say that and I think about this morning, I could give you countless examples of believers who in the eyes of the world would not be useful because they had no education, they had no great abilities, they had no authority, they had no name, but what they did have was a God-given ability to use within the body of Christ, and God used them in a way that moves beyond comprehension. I can think of people right here in this body just like that. The example I'm thinking of are folks from many, many years ago from another local church. Daryl and Betty were their names. And they were just simple country people. They would often say that they couldn't do much and didn't know how to do much. But God had given them a special gift of service and help. And folks, whenever there was work to do around the church, Daryl and Betty were there. They were there on the cleaning days. They were there on the maintenance days. They were there when no one else was there. Oftentimes, I would look out, I get up early, and I would look out even before daylight, and Daryl's truck would pull up and park in the parking lot of the church, and Daryl would get out, and he'd begin to just work around the church. He'd just walk around, and he was looking for things to do, and he would serve in that way. He'd work about 2 hours, and then he'd go home and take a nap. And see, the reason he did that is because he had a serious heart condition and he needed to rest. And then after he rested, I would see Daryl's truck back at the church just doing things around the church. That was Daryl. Never complained, never grumbled, just glad to serve God's people. Glad to serve the Lord. You see, folks, we often get mixed up in our thinking. We think that the pastors are so important, and we think that the deacons are so essential. We think that teachers and officers of the church are the foundation of the body, and yes, they're important. They have a place in the body. But I tell you that no church can function in the way that God wants that church to function without the Daryls and the Bettys in the church. God uses His people within the body. Folks, the problem in many churches today is not that some Christians have no God-given ability. The problem is they don't use the ability that God has given. They don't use the gifts that God has given. Because in Christ, all of us have been given a gift or gifts by the grace of God. Now that brings another question. So who gives the gifts? Who gives the gifts? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7, Paul says, according to the measure of Christ's gifts. According to the measure of Christ's gifts. Folks, that means that we don't choose the gifts. We don't choose this supernatural ability. It's according to the measure of Christ. Each gift is unique, and each gift is special. And each believer who receives the gift is special and unique. And the measure or the portion is given to the believer by the head of the church, Jesus Christ. He's the one who assigns it. He's the one who gives the responsibility. He's the one who gifts each of the believers within the body. And what He gives to each one, He also gives the grace and the faith to use it. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, God has dealt to each one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, Paul says the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. You see, folks, the whole Godhead, the Trinity, is involved in giving and distributing these spiritual abilities. Now, just for a moment, that should tell us how important this is. I mean, it's important that Jesus Christ is involved in this, but you see, when you look at the full scope of Scripture, the whole Godhead is involved in this. That tells us how important it is. And frankly, I think that God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit can do a much better job of giving or distributing gifts than you can or me. See, this is the work of God within us. Now, gifts by definition are something that we receive, and we receive them freely. We receive them by grace. And again, it reminds us that this is not us. Our spiritual gifts are not determined by our preferences or our natural abilities or our merit or our own considerations, but solely by God's gracious and sovereign will. Paul says it is the measure of Christ's gifts, not us. Now, what that means then is this, that no believer within the body of Christ has received his abilities, these supernatural abilities, by accident or by whim. But God, in His sovereign will, has placed us in the body, and He has given us certain gifts and abilities so that as individuals and as a group, we might function together like Jesus Christ. And when people see you functioning as a member of the body of Christ, or when people see the body functioning together, they should see Jesus. They should see Jesus as we work and labor and serve. These gifts are the characteristics of Jesus Christ. These are the qualities, the functional qualities of Christ given to us. That brings the next question. So what are the gifts? What are these gifts? Paul doesn't say it specifically in this verse, but he implies in the verses that follow that there are different gifts. In verse 8 he says, and gave gifts to men. Gifts, plural. In verse 11, he gives an example of gifted men, gifts that Christ has given. He talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, he talks about diversities of gifts and differences of ministries and diversities of activities. You see, folks, through the sovereign choice of the triune God, different gifts are given to different members at different times in the life of the church. Now, we won't spend a lot of time here, but I want you to see it with your own eyes. I want to go to three passages that deal with spiritual gifts, and we'll just read through them. We won't make a lot of comment, but I want you to see what God says through the Apostle Paul. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he says, and He Himself, that's Jesus, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Those are gifts. Those are gifted men. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And look with me at verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Now notice what Paul says here. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now see, begin to put these things together. This may or may not be an exhaustive list of all the gifts, but by the Holy Spirit, we see from the scripture writers, we get an idea of what these gifts are. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at verses 8 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. Now again, Paul is talking here to a local church and he's talking about these spiritual gifts. He says in verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. So now think about it, the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is giving to people in the church, to members of the church, those members of the body of Christ, He's giving them different gifts. Verse 10, he says, to another, or verse 9, to another faith in the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Look at verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Many different supernatural gifts, abilities within the body of Christ. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and look with me at verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Now notice what Peter says. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. He says, as each one has received a gift, remember now he's talking to believers, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Another word for minister, serve. Serve one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He calls it the manifold grace of God because these gifts are grace given. They're given by God through His grace. We don't earn them. We don't choose them. They're gifts. Gifts of God's grace. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, over and over, we see the Scripture writers by the Holy Spirit giving us these truths, giving us an idea of what the gifts are, but emphasizing to each one, this grace has been given. Each one. There are a variety of gifts given by God to the church. Now, we ask the question, so how is this connected to unity? Back in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about unity and then he goes immediately into diversity. So how is it connected? When we look at all these gifts and this variety and this diversity, folks, it is fertile ground for division. See, differences always can bring division and separation. They don't keep good company with unity. As a matter of fact, that's what was happening in the church of Corinth, because the church in Corinth was divided because of a misunderstanding and a misuse of these spiritual gifts. But Paul now makes it very clear in this passage in Ephesians 4 that diversity of gifts is crucial to unity. When we as believers understand where the gifts come from and how and why they are used, then it will protect and it will guard unity. So think about this. What's the purpose of these gifts? See, these are God-given gifts, and they're given to all of us who have trusted Christ, who are in union with Jesus Christ. What's their purpose? Ephesians 4:12, for the building up of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, for the profit of all. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, for the glory of God. You see, these purposes then bring this diversity together. Folks, these gifts are not for self. They're not to focus on self, but to build one another up, to help one another, to assist one another in bringing one another to maturity and to bring glory to God. And this is to take place within the local church. That's the context of these, the practice or the use of these gifts. Now, the normal question that comes from a study, and again, this is not a detailed, exhaustive study. We're just looking at one passage, Ephesians 4. But the normal question that comes from this study or this subject is simply this: well, what are my gifts? What are my gifts? See, you might be asking that now. Well, what are my gifts? And see, my answer to you would be, I don't know. But shouldn't you know? I don't know. See, the question, how can I know what my spiritual ability is? How can I know what ability, what supernatural ability God has given to me? And folks, for years there have been studies, there have been surveys, there have been evaluations for believers to identify their gifts. And some of those things are good and some of those things are not so good. But I would simply say this, and if you ask me the question, here's my answer. I'm going to say to you, if you want to know your gift, then serve. Get involved. Get busy. And I promise you this, that God will show you what your gift is. But you have to be available. You have to serve. You have to say, yes, yes, here I am. I don't know what my gift is, God. I don't know what supernatural ability you've given me, but I make myself available to serve. Folks, these gifts are given to the body of Christ to be used in the body of Christ. And if you're not fellowshipping and available to serve in this local assembly, then you will never know what your gift is. You see, it's in the context of the local church. These gifts are like tools to help build the church. And if a believer is not connected to and serving in a local church, then that believer is like a tool that stays in the toolbox. And the tools in the toolbox are to be used to do the work. And if you're not involved in the local church and you're not connected with the local church and you're not serving in the local church, then you won't know how you're gifted and that ability that God has given to you. I like the way that Paul says it in Romans chapter 12, verse 6. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, he says, let us use them. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. And folks, what that means is you have to be available. You have to be willing to serve. And that's why when I hear announcements like I heard this morning, and I know what's gone on this summer, and I know what's ahead for Faith Baptist Church in the months to come. I praise God and I thank God you're giving us the opportunities. Here it is. People can use their gifts. They can use these supernatural abilities that you have given to them in this body for one another and for your glory. Folks, there are all kinds of ministries taking place here at Faith Baptist Church, all kinds of opportunities. So I ask you this morning, what are you waiting for? Make yourself available. Talk to Pastor Jake about the international giveaway. Walk up to the Truth Tracker leaders, to Casey or Naomi or Eric or Christina, and say, I want to serve in Truth Trackers. Bring joy to the heart of our nursery leader, Mary Kudum, and say, I want to serve in the nursery. Bring a smile to the face of one of our deacons. Just walk up and say, is there anyone I can help financially? Is there anyone who has a financial need right now? I want to serve them. I want to help them. And if you want to see a real funny sight, if you want to see a pastor faint, just walk up and say to your pastor, I'll do anything. Whatever needs to be done, Pastor, I'll do it. Here I am. What can I do? And then after you pick me up off the floor, I'll talk to you. You see, I guarantee this. If you're willing and you're able and you're available, you will soon know the ability that God has given you. God has set the members, Paul says it this way, each one of them in Faith Baptist Church just as He pleased. And God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, has given to each one of us spiritual gifts. And though we are different, and these gifts are different, we can all come together and use them in unity for the building up of the body and for the glory of our God through Jesus Christ. I want to close with a story this morning, and perhaps I've shared it before, but I'll share it again. I read this story about a Sunday school ministry in that part of New York City that had been rated as the most likely place in America to be killed. The pastor of this specific church had been stabbed twice, he'd been shot at, and even one of his team members had been killed. A Puerto Rican lady trusted Christ and then came to the pastor with this urgent request. She didn't speak a word of English, so she told the pastor through an interpreter, I want to do something for God, please. And the pastor answered, I don't know what you can do. And so she pleaded with him and said, please let me do something for the Lord. And the pastor said, okay, I'll put you on a bus and you can ride a different bus every week and just love the kids. Love the kids on the bus. So every week she rode a different bus and she loved the children. And she would find the child on that bus who looked like that they needed someone the worst. And she would put that child on her lap. She would whisper over and over into the ears of that child the only words that she knew in English. I love you. Jesus loves you. That was her ministry. That was her service. That was her work. After several months, she became attached to one little boy on a certain bus, and so she said, I don't want to change buses anymore. I want to stay on that bus. And she did. The little boy didn't speak. He came to Sunday school every week with his sister, sat on the woman's lap, but he never made a sound, never said a word. And each week, all the way to Sunday school and all the way home, she would say to him, I love you. Jesus loves you. And one day, to her amazement, that little boy turned around and said in broken speech, "I love you too." And then he put his arms around her, gave her a big hug. That was 2:30 on a Sunday afternoon. And at 6:30 that evening, the boy was found dead in a garbage bag under a fire escape. His drug-addicted mother had beat him to death and put his body in the trash. "I love you," and "Jesus loves you" were some of the last words that little boy heard from the lips of a Puerto Rican lady who could barely speak English. She did what she could do for the Lord. So I close in asking you this question: how are you serving one another in this body? How are you bringing glory to God in service in this local church? Let's bow our heads. Father, we acknowledge this morning that the church, the body of Christ, is a precious thing. And we understand that because Jesus died for us. He suffered and was put to death on our behalf. And therefore we know that we, as your people, have become your people because of a price that is precious in your eyes. And we thank you. And Father, you save us and you bring us to yourself, not then to just sit and relax, but to serve and to labor and to work. Father, not in our own strength and not in our own ability, but that which you provide, so that in it all, you will be glorified through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, it is you who have set the members of this church in place. It's you who have brought people together today. And God, it's you who's working right now to change us. Father, by this simple word that we've looked at today, Father, help us now to submit to you, to humble ourselves before you, and to use, by your grace, these abilities that you've given us for one another and for your glory. Father, if there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus, may today be that day of salvation. May today be that day when you, by your grace, open their understanding and they come to you through faith in Jesus Christ. God, we leave this to you. We commit it to you at your work. Help us to be faithful stewards of the grace that you've given us. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.